So, I feel that I should give a trigger warning for this sermon. Because I know that some of us have come into this place from faith traditions that were not kind to us, or have had experiences of people using the word God more like a club than an invitation. So I will warn you that I use the word God 53 times. I counted them because I have a computer that counts for me. And it's okay if you want to zip out a little bit during the sermon, or you want to, in your head, substitute a different word for that word. All I ask is that you try your best to listen with an open heart. So, you know how groups of animals have names? There's, for instance, a kaleidoscope of butterflies, a mess of iguanas. Magpies and alligators gather as congregations, which I wondered, perhaps that's why we are called a society. Some folks a while back suggested that a group of UUs should be called a cacophony of UUs. Because we Unitarian Universalists, we believe in a variety of things. Some believe in God, some don't. Some believe in many gods. Some think we are a church and some think we are a society. Some see the value in trees and rocks and the sacred there. And others of us find the sacred in art or groups of people. We are an eclectic group. These differing opinions can sometimes seem like a cacophony. Some of us love cacophony and add to the noise by singing our own song. Sometimes we avoid adding to the cacophony by not making a noise. We often don't talk about God. For some of us, that is because the idea of God is fraught with trauma and negativity from our past. For some of us, it's because we are not sure what we think about God or how to say it. For some of us, it is because no matter what our own faith is, we want to tread lightly and not ruffle feathers or hurt someone else. And for some of us, we are just private people. We would no more talk about God than we would talk about our bank balance. It's a cacophony, isn't it? But in that, it is not all noise and confusion and hope and horribleness. Every once in a while, I get into a conversation with someone about how they don't believe in God. And every once in a while, it is fitting for me to ask, so tell me about the God that you do not believe in. And sometimes the person I'm talking to will say, I don't believe in some God who sits up in the sky in the big beyond. I don't believe in some old white guy in the sky. And I say, I don't believe in a God who punishes some and rewards others. And I say, I don't believe in that God either. So I ask for the moment, let us agree that we do not need to agree about whether God exists. Let us agree that we do not have to agree on what God is like. And I think as soon as I say that, my human mind, and perhaps yours too, goes to one of two places. First, you might be arguing with me in your head, even though I just asked that for the moment, could we agree to disagree? We humans love to define and parse and argue. Second, you might already be trying to describe God with some kinds of words, and that is the very beginning of describing that starts to put something in an either-or place. Infinite or limited, mother or father, male or female. I suppose a third alternative is also possible. This whole discourse has not grabbed you, and you are making your Sunday shopping list in your head. But here is an advantage that we UUs have. Because we do not talk much about God, we also don't gender God much. We don't limit God much. When I am in a worship service with some of my liberal Christian siblings, I find myself sometimes jarred by the language I find there. Even when there is an attempt to make the language about God gender inclusive. Even when the pronouns are inclusive, there might still be language of hierarchy. King and kingdom, Lord, mother, father. We, as you use, may at times struggle to talk about God, but when we do, in general, we talk about God in ways that are non-gendered and less hierarchical. It may sound like a cacophony to some, but to me, it sounds musical. Sometimes I say God is love. And sometimes even folks who are uncertain about God can say, well, if there is a God, then yeah, God would be love. And the people who don't believe in God can say, I don't believe you're right, but love is good. I can get behind that. Here is why the statement God is love moves me. It is as a statement that stands on its own. It's not some kind of couplet of opposites. If I were to say God is male, then for many of us, the concept of female is also there. But love is just love. We live in a world that groups and divides, judges and bifurcates. Some of that was once really a great advantage to us, knowing which animals are safe to eat, which plants are safe to eat. That was especially important when we lived really close to the earth. But we humans divide everything. Right versus wrong, left versus right, up, down, boy, girl, bad, good. In our culture, we tend to see these kinds of bifurcations as either ors. You're either right or you're wrong, with a firm dividing line in between. Now, you may not believe in God, or you may be unsure, or the God that you believe in is different yet from anything I have talked about this morning. That's okay. I don't need you to agree or disagree. If you have heard, that is enough. But what I would like you to consider is how breaking out of the confines of a binary opens up one's ability to consider possibilities. We are living in a world that seems to be becoming more divided, and the division is becoming more rigid, fear-driven, hate-filled. And we did something different than that. Our little congregation of just over 100 members, we did something different yesterday. We had this amazing conference, Building Beloved Community Beyond the Binary. I'm not sure of the final number, but to me it looked like there were close to 140 people in this building yesterday. And why did we host this conference, you ask? Well, last year, Paul Barfoot said to me, you know, February, our theme is identity. Wouldn't it be great if we could do a conference or something on identity? I said, that sounds good. And we gathered a group from among us who were interested in working on this. We talked about whom we knew and could invite. Pastor Sunshine over at May Memorial said, I know Kate Bornstein. She's a well-known trans activist. Let me see if I can help make that connection for you. And so she was able to be our keynote speaker. We had workshops and panels inviting friends and others in the community to come and speak. Because we have this cacophony of beliefs, we have a community that can open itself wide to a variety of people. We don't demand that each person who walks through these doors is either male or female. It doesn't interest us much. Honestly, we're way more interested on whether or not you can help out with coffee after the service. And there is a sign-up sheet downstairs. Which is a funny way of saying we are way more interested in what you do and where your heart is. Maybe it sounds like a cacophony to some of my other Christian friends, but to me it sounds like a harmony of you-yous. So for you, those of you who are disappointed that I am not preaching a political sermon, one that moves us back to justice work, one that bends the arc of the universe just a little bit more toward justice, consider what moving beyond the binary thinking could do for justice work, to fairness, to freedom, to immigration and education, to all the places that need our attention so desperately. Two things struck me that our keynote, Kate Bornstein, said in her presentation yesterday. The problem with binary is that there are too many answers and not enough questions. Are we not situated so well as you use to do this beyond the binary conversation about God? We are full of questions. And she said the nature of the binary is a battlefield, one side against the other. If we can talk about God in a non-binary way, perhaps we can avoid the old argument we have, UU humanist versus theist. Paul Barfitt mentioned the word to me, post-theist. What would a post-theist world look like? So what would I say about God beyond the binary? I'm not demanding that you do this, but I believe in God. I don't know exactly what this means. I used to know. I did. When I was young, I knew so much more. Or at least I was so much firmer in my knowledge. God was all that was, the beginning, the middle, the end. And now I don't know. I want to say God is. God just is. And leave the mystery be. I want to say that what God is not as important as how we are. I can spend my time trying to define the infinite, but really, aren't there better things to do with my time? Your time. Isn't it ever more interesting to ponder how to make God real? How to make love real? But since I am the one up here preaching, let me make the effort. I would posit that if God exists, then God is, if not infinite, at least a whole lot more immense than I am. Perhaps God is the combined life force of all the universe. Perhaps God is being created by all that is. As the universe moves and changes and grows, perhaps God grows out of that. We know the more complex always grows out of the less complex. And we know that dividing things into groups makes it easier for us to understand, but that does not necessarily make them more true. Did you ever, in a science class, put something on a slide to look at under the microscope? By doing that, you came to understand something about that cell or organism, but at the same time, the organism was no more. It was simply a flattened something on a slide. So I don't want God to be more understandable. I want God to be more true. As I say that, do you notice that the conversation has moved from a binary either-or conversation? As I say that, do you notice how understandable and true are not two polarities of a continuum? The God I want to be more true exists somewhere beyond the workings of my limited but not small mind. Exists somewhere beyond the limited but not smallness of your minds. The trueness of God is that God is more than male or female, more than right or wrong, more than saved or damned, more than in or out, more than citizen or undocumented, more than privileged or marginalized, more than either or. The trueness of the God I believe in is that God longs for each one of us to be our best selves. The God I believe in longs for each animal, each plant, each rock, each atom to be its best self. The God I believe in is not limited by the human mind, so dependent on quickly deciding either or, friend or foe, safe or not. The God I believe in exists beyond the binary, ever luring me and you and this amazing universe into a life where there is more love, less division, greater creativity, more inclusion. When God is beyond the binary, so can we be beyond the binary. And that is the sacred place of inclusion, a place I want to be. In a world without end, I know this to be true.